The four-panel Free at Last exhibit commemorates the 150th anniversary of the Civil War between Southern and Northern states. As soon as the Civil War began, many slaves fled to Union soldier encampments at Fortress Monroe, Virginia. Union General Benjamin Butler treated runaway slaves as contraband of war. As Union soldiers began to control territories across Middle and West Tennessee in 1862, more and more contraband camps were formed. Dr. Antoinette Van Zalm is a historian for the Tennessee Civil War National Heritage Center. Dr. Van Zalm says that the first two panels of the Free at Last exhibit highlight what took place in 1863, when some 20,133 Tennessee slaves began to fight for their freedom.
Some of them, of course, left their owners and headed to Union lines. By 1863, men who were able-bodied could join the United States Colored Troops. But others gained their freedom more slowly. They started to refuse to do certain things that they had previously been forced to do as slaves. They started to get a little bit more unwilling to do some things, and in a lot of ways, slavery broke down because they had some power in a sense, because they had the threat of escape was there. The owners knew that they could leave, and so there were a period where there would be more concessions given to some of the enslaved workers who still continued to work. So by the end of the war, in a place like Tennessee, where there was just so much Union occupation and just so much sort of chaos in a way, by the end of the war, slavery had virtually ceased to exist in the state.
As contraband camps began to spread across Tennessee, some camps developed into small communities with schools, stores, and churches. One of the largest contraband camps developed during the Mississippi Valley Campaign in West Tennessee. The second two panels of the Free at Last exhibit focuses on this groundbreaking contraband camp called Grand Junction. Dr. Antoinette Van Zalm.
In West Tennessee, one of the significant contraband camps that developed was in Grand Junction, which is east of Memphis. And that was where General Ulysses S. Grant realized and recognized that there were so many former slaves who had come to the Union lines that someone had to be put in charge of them. And he wanted to have sort of an organized system for dealing with the many people who were coming to Union lines, because the Union Army wasn't prepared for the influx of refugees that took place. There was not a plan originally. There was no the point of the Union Army's point in the war originally was certainly not to free the slaves. That was not their goal. Although eventually, with the Emancipation Proclamation and some of the changes that took place in the attitudes of the leaders of the Union, including President Abraham Lincoln, emancipation did become a goal of the war, but it was not at the beginning. And so there was a lot of chaos and confusion. And so General Grant put a man named John Eaton, a Union Army chaplain, he put him in charge of the contrabands in West Tennessee and asked him to come up with a system for how to provide for them and how to help them to provide for themselves. A lot of times the former slaves would work crops and plant gardens and they did a lot. They had to do a lot for themselves. They were an integral part of creating these camps.
Dr. Van Zalm adds that when President Abraham Lincoln issued his Emancipation Proclamation on January 1st, 1863, it did not free a single slave, but it was an important turning point in the Civil War, transforming the fight to preserve a nation into a battle for human freedom. The Free at Last exhibit debuted in February 2007 at the 26th Annual Conference on African American History and Culture at Tennessee State University in Nashville, Tennessee. It has traveled to more than 16 museums across our state, but it's the first time on display locally, and you can see it at the Bessie Smith Cultural Museum. It'll be there up until Tuesday, October 1st. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Mark Colbert.